Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WBSW Radio, the internet station. We're number one. Let me take this opportunity to present the host with the most. They call him Coach Doc and the Love Guru. Without further ado, present to some, introduce to others, Dr. Lorenza D. Smith, the owner and operator of WBSW Radio. Dr. Lowe, make it do what it do.
My, we've been blessed one more time to come before you. I'm really excited about having an opportunity to focus on a major topic that are being addressed in many ways, but we want to do as well on this platform. We've been working and focusing on this topic for the last 3 weeks. I am Dr. Lorenza D. Smith, the producer and co-host of Tell the Truth Primetime, the host with the most that will join us in a little bit, Lisa F. Levine. We just want to be able to share an opportunity of some knowledge, and hopefully something is gained from our discussion tonight. Tonight's show title is Trauma and Its Effects on Relationships. And I just want you to take the opportunity and think about, have you been in a relationship and you realize your partner are going through some challenging moments or challenging some time, but not have been open to some sense of support or some sense of counseling or therapy? Is that is a challenging relationship. And I want you to keep that in mind. But we want you to be part of the show by calling in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. And I'll make sure I get you on the line by identifying the last 4 digits of your cell. Ask for your location, then you can join with our conversation about trauma and its effects on relationships. You also can check us out on the web link. The web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/WBSW Internet Talk Radio. You can tweet the show at Lisa Farrow 24, along with at WBSW Radio, at Zeta Phi Sigma underscore with the number 10, at Lorenza D. Smith 15. Then you have an opportunity to check us out on Instagram. We have two devices working tonight. The first device, this is the device, and the handle is at President Dr. Dot Lorenza D. Smith. And the second device, we give a wave to the Hottie Bow. Thank you so much for joining us. We're partners with the Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. And their handle is Zeta Phi Sigma Greenville in number 10. These are the Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma of Greenville, Alabama. So we truly want to say it's a great opportunity to partner with those brothers because they're at the grind, they're working hard, and their service is coming in the form of being partners with us. And when I partner with various people or bring people on the show, we are doing this together. So we give a shout out to those brothers being the most progressive chapter and really stepping out of the normalcy and moving into something, a realm of greatness. It is truly an opportunity where we are partners to make sure we get the word out. We can reach many people just through this network right here. And thank you to Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated of Greenville, Alabama. We also want you to know that you can check us out on Facebook. That's facebook.com/Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith. Pause because I wanted to make sure a host with the most was able to join us and I had to pause so I can make sure I see everything come into play. Again, on Facebook, that's facebook.com/DRL Dialberto Smith. Also, we're excited to have, you can check Lisa out if you're a friend of Lisa, the host with the most, and you can go to her Facebook page, and I want to make sure I get it. That's facebook.com/Lisa Farrell. Thank you so much for being able to connect. We want to share that we have watchers and listeners in 38 countries. So we're globally out there. The word is out there. So we appreciate everybody who's joining us at this point. Give a shout out to the Mississippi Gulf Coast Sigmas of 586 Fraternity Incorporated down in that area of Biloxi, Mississippi. We also want you to know that we're asking you to register for our WBSW radio giveaway. And what we're asking you is to forward your name along with a means of transaction. These are the four we're working with. We'll cash, again, that's LorenzaD.Smith15@gmail.com. And we're going to be wrapping off tonight a trip. And the trip is to the Grand Canyon. And that's 4 nights and 5 days. I'm still working that I can extend it. So one of the sponsors that are working hard to get that in place, we want to make sure. I understand that the raffle, what we're raffling off is hotel stay. We're going to take care of that once you activate. If you're the winner, that voucher that you get, it'll take care. And all you have to do is make sure you have a credit card for any other incidental that goes along so you can be a part. Your travel, you have to make sure you get it. We're also working to have a food voucher card. That would be up to $300. And what it does is it allows you to take and when you go eat, you can use the coupons in there, use what they have in place. You can get discounts on food. So we just want to be able to give back to you. So we're really excited about that. Truly, it is awesome to be before you tonight. We have a very, very special person. And I say this every time I get a chance to see her. Words can only explain our relationship. I truly appreciate her taking the opportunity when I first met her through a cousin and said, yes, I'll come on the show and I'll talk about what I'm doing and what I'm providing as a service. And I was excited. And then I came back and said, would you like to be on the show? And she said, on our Monday night show as a co-host. Then I came to her. I said, you want to go with me and we can do this thing together. We can team up and have another show. And that's where we are today. Tell the truth, prime time. Young lady hails from the great state of Ohio. As far as you can get north before you get into Canada, Cleveland, Ohio. She decided to take a journey and travel over 10, 12, 20 hours from her home, maybe longer than that, to move to the southern peninsula of Florida, where she's a licensed clinical social worker. She has a yoga studio. She also, with Katie's Kids of Yoga, along with pet sitting at time to time. Truly an awesome person. And I'm so blessed to have her to want to be a part of this. None other than truly, I'd be humble when I do this. The host with the most. From the great state of Ohio, now Florida, Lisa L. Levine. How you doing, Lisa?
How are you?
Oh, I'm awesome. God is blessing us. We're here again. We made it to another Wednesday. So that was 7 days. So we had to flip around mighty quick. But, it is what it is. We're going to make it do what it do. Now we're back on track. So next time we'll come to play is in 2 weeks because that'll be our third week of the month. We had 5 weeks in last month, so that was a fortunate situation in April. Now we're here in May, and for all those individuals, if I'm not mistaken, we had a lot of things happen. We had principal day, we had administrative day, we had administrative staff day, all that happened in April. I think this month we're addressing mental health this month. So that's why we're here. Even if we're not, we're gonna continue to address it, because when it had the impact of trauma, we just talked about trauma in general, how we can heal from trauma. Now we're gonna talk about how trauma your relationship, whether your relationship with a romantic relationship, a friendship, a family, a church, a job, or your cohorts are there. Your relationship can be affected if you have trauma and you don't understand the triggers. So, Lisa, I really appreciate you taking an opportunity to be here tonight. Our title tonight is Trauma and Its Effects on Relationship. And I want to let everybody know that's on each one of these devices that you have the ability to type in comments. So please type in your comments. Let us know what you're thinking about the topic that we're discussing under our title, Trauma and Its Effect on Relationship. And I'm going to let Lisa start off just getting us started off tonight so we can move forward. Okay.
Where do you want me to start, with romantic relationships?
Let's talk about the types of trauma that impact relationships. Yeah. Let's talk about that right there, because we want to.
Yeah, there's different. I'm gonna start with abuse. Something you didn't talk about last week: domestic violence, violence in relationships, or violence in growing up, or violence in relationships. And something I was thinking about it after the show. When you're in a abusive relationship, you tend to keep going to that same kind of relationship. And even in childhood, the way you're raised, if you're raised in an unnurturing home, an unloving home, abusive home, neglectful home, that seems to be the trend of what you keep falling into. And I don't know if people see that all the time. They don't. They might. Something I learned in a training I attended is, you know, when somebody is in an abusive relationship, you can't tell them to leave. You have to tell them what kind of plan do you put in place for you, because that's really all the person knows. Because when you're telling someone to leave, where are they leaving to, right? And it can happen with men or women, but trauma at a young age does trickle down into adulthood, and sometimes when a person is, you know, abused or the other, they grow into an adult that's the complete opposite, or they go into that adult that was the abuser, like how they were treated. So I was thinking about that after we did the show, and like, we didn't really talk about that, and I wanted to kind of hit on that. When you're in certain types of relationships, it doesn't even have to be a romantic. You can have friends that are abusive towards you, or family members. And it's being aware of the red flags and, yes, triggers. And how do you overcome that? And when you're meeting people, kind of like people that go on dating apps, they keep going for that same type of look, that same type of guy, and you keep falling into that same cycle, right?
Right.
It's the same, or you know, and how do you learn to overcome and build confidence? And I don't think it just happens overnight. You know, I don't think you can just, I love this relationship. You're always in an unhealthy relationship, and you put someone in a healthy relationship, they don't know what to do with that. That makes sense?
Right.
They don't know what to be treated correctly. And I think we all deal with trauma differently. I think we all feel differently. You know what I'm big on, self-care, yoga, techniques and strategies don't always work. Talking it out, journaling, different things that you can do to heal and recognize signs signs of what you've already been through. Because if you come back into that same pattern. And I think that's important for people to be aware of that and recognize that. And like I said, you can't tell people to just leave or end something. Because sometimes when the person's in it, 9 times out of 10, they don't see what's going on. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, they don't see it. You didn't see it. I don't see it. And I think when you jump on somebody about it, it makes it a lot harder. I can't stand it. There's one thing I can't stand, and I will never be a practitioner that does this. I will never, ever, ever tell anybody to forget what happened in their past. I don't believe in doing that. I believe in when things come up, you address them and you find peace within it. And I've even said to some people sometimes, are you a therapist? Are you a psychiatrist? Because that's not something, I know that they were, that there's some types of therapy that tries to erase things, memories, but they try to do that with people undergoing severe trauma. Now I'm hearing psychedelics back their low. They want psychedelics, mushrooms. That is not healthy. And I don't care what kind of studies that they've done on that. I'm sorry. I'm very big on talking it out, being able to be where you're at and process your feelings. And some people, you got to teach them how to express their feelings. Taking a psychedelic or doing drugs, guys, is not going to take your problems away. I mean, if you need to take an antidepressant for something because there's an imbalance, I'm all for it, or an anxiety med, but I'm not for taking things to mask or pretend that something's not there. That's not how you feel. Yes, if it elevates your mood and manages your anxiety where you feel good enough to be able to talk about things and work through it, but I think these are issues that I'm seeing lately or hearing people say, and it's not, it's, you could really trigger somebody to spiral backwards if you tell them, move on, forget about it. You don't even know sound or smell, they say, clothing, colors, but those can be triggers too to like past trauma.
And truly, that's something that we have a tendency to do sometimes in our community. In our, and even in our culture, we always tell people, you know, we know emotions are not the same as feelings, and grief is an emotion. And they're always quick to say, I understand what how you feel, but you need to move on because I did it. Everybody heals different. One of the things, all the things Lisa shared, one of the things I wanted to add is, what you really can't afford to do is to do nothing. If you do nothing about addressing the trauma, whether it was childhood, whether it was a single a personal experience you had, or whether it was a complex trauma situation, because in relationship, that's normally what happened. Those two are the two types you see more so. But doing nothing, and I think if what has happened for many years before the pandemic, we, a lot of us just buried our head in the sand and we didn't do anything. And then when the pandemic hit, which is a natural disaster, then we was have a combination of things. We started compounding things on what we already have. So you hear a lot of time when people go out and do some violent crimes and so on and do vicious things, okay, they were mentally ill. But we all have a sense of things we need to be addressed through our emotions, well, through mental aspects, and that's the need and seeking support or professional help. Sometimes doing nothing adds to your situation. And especially when we're talking about relationships, Lisa just shared some very important things about relationships. See, when we're talking about relationships, examples of trauma, she gave you quite a few examples. First of all, physical abuse. See, that's an example that could be singular or it could be complex. It's still abuse that you mentally, it not only just affects you where you may be physically touched, but it affects you mentally and emotionally. And people have to understand that one of the most detrimental, a couple things that's detrimental to a relationship, when we talk about what love is not truly abuse. Love is not hurt. People that can't love you and hurt you too, that don't gel. Love is not humiliation. So when someone is physically abusing you, or they are threatening you, threatening to put physically harm, just like Lisa said, you're in a relationship, somebody's threatened, gonna leave. Every time things get complex, go into conflict, they threaten to leave. Because what they're really trying to do is see how you're gonna respond. And if you respond to a point where you almost sometimes begging them not to leave, they know they have you in a over a barrel. So you have to be very careful about allowing someone to physically threaten you, to harm you. You have to understand it's important that it be addressed. Sexual abuse. See, people don't realize no means no. And we talk that, and some people don't really want to practice that. You shouldn't be physically abused sexually. And then when this person is finished, they're going to tell you, I love you. I don't want to lose you. Because you know what that's going to turn into? It's going to turn into, if you don't address it, it's going to turn up, I can't live without you. And when it turns to, I can't live without you, you have to really be concerned. But that control put into place, that's that abuse being put into place. And you have to understand that it's hard making that decision. It's hard to even think about things and not perfectly going for us all the time. People don't realize it don't take sometimes much to put you on the side where it affects you mentally, emotionally. It gets great triggers. So you need to seek support and you need to seek therapy. And see, people I was talking about in the African-American community, we think that's taboo. We think that if you do that, you're crazy. Something is wrong with you. You went to see the psychiatrist and we kept Uncle Joe locked up. And I'm just using Joe. Nobody take it personally. I'm using Mr. L. Kept him locked up. And we knew he needed to have some help and support. And we support could come from you as well as an agency through counseling and through therapy. See, we have to understand this affects individuals. They may need to leave that home and be out in the world. And they're in a relationship. Triggers, as Lisa said, is so important. Okay. And it comes from not addressing a lot of the issues in our life. Especially we take those same issues. That might go coincide with this, and I'm going to Lisa jump in right after this. It might go coincide to this, Lisa. Don't bring baggage from your last relationship into your new relationship. The baggage could be something that was so traumatic to you, and you really think you have reached the healing, but the self-healing don't quite work. Everybody can say what they want to say. Self-healing is like if you're alcoholic, you think you can cure that because it's an addiction. You know, a drug, you have to seek help, and you have to get into a program. So when you're sitting up talking about baggage coming from a past relationship, you know, we all have something that we encounter that creates sometimes stone walls, sometimes create vulnerability. Sometimes they create say, I don't want to be in another relationship because what happened in that relationship. But what we have to do is help to heal So we can not only be in a good position to be in not only a romantic relationship, but a family relationship. We have to make sure we do that, because whatever triggered you that happened in the where you gained those relationship skills that became traumatic, it gonna trigger you in your family relationship. Somebody gonna say something in the family gathering, you're gonna get upset. Your friendship, they not gonna go along, you're gonna get upset, they're gonna trigger it. You have to address it. Okay, Lee.
Yeah, and I've learned too, watch who you're talking to, you know, about your things, like make sure that it's the right people, because people have motives, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know when you're in a relationship and it says it on Facebook, like, and then you break up, you go like single status.
Mm-hmm.
So what, a year and a half ago or so, that's what happened to me. And I'm going to tell you something, and this is not helpful. I had girls wanting to be nosy. Oh, what happened? Like, I don't care. And just the manner. And then my guy friends, who I'm not talking to some of them, because that's not healthy for me, and it's not healthy for you guys. And you're going to, when someone's going through something, and I guess I love my walk with Jolene. You know, we haven't been consistent. There's so many things right now, but we'll get back at it next week. We talk about different things like this, and it's healthy to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And not once, you know, you got to really watch. If you're genuinely concerned and love your friend, you're going to be supportive to them, and you're not going to say, oh, he was a bad guy. I tried to tell you that was a bad girl for you. Those are things you should not directly say, because they're not helpful. And when somebody goes through a breakup or a divorce, I'm just saying it's not helpful when you're on top of them and questioning them, and the person is trying to process like what happened. And I said, never again will I post who I'm dating. You'll never see who I'm dating on Facebook ever, any kind of social media, because I don't want anyone in my personal affairs. But I can tell you from personal experience, the way people were treating me, it was not like, I would have been fine had you just left me be and let me go to work and go for my walks and do my yoga, because yoga and the beach, to me, is a healing place. Those are healing places for me. And that's why I'm trying to encourage people, watch who you talk to. You know, I talk about you all the time, Dr. Lowe. When people are telling me stuff, like I say, you should reach out to him, you know, too. And I deal, you know, I deal with men. I deal with a lot of black males who it really hurts for them to talk about things or breakups or relationships or, you know, coming out of playing from a sport and then just, you know, trying to adjust. We're all trying to adjust to change. But know what your motives are. And, you know, I'm blessed because I do have some very good friends in Cleveland. And guys, try to have good friends in your face. And if somebody is not being appropriate or helpful or just like, I do this whole checking in. I check on my guys all the time.
In progress.
Checking in. Well, I always say checking in, and I send emojis because I think that's a good thing to do. You're letting someone know you're thinking about them. I've said this before. Do you need anything? What can I do? How can I help? But trying to, like, date somebody right after a breakup or setting them up or, like, move on and forget, like, even a divorce, like, it's still something that was part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you don't have those feelings, most people are trying to recover from what went on. And I don't care if you go with someone 2 years, 5 years, 20 years. You're trying to heal and understand so that this doesn't happen again.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's key. And I listen, you know, to so many people, and, you know, it's interesting. I got a new client. She's lovely. And she said to me, I'm 60 years old, and I'm having issues with my daughter, and I want to have a healthy relationship with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think triggers from my past are trickling in. And I said, you know, I really admire you for, because it takes a lot for admit. So if I think I'm doing something wrong, and maybe in a co-session, can she come in and leave the three of us talk?
Yeah.
Or I can listen. And I was taken so far back today, I was like, wow. You know, because that it takes a lot for a person to say, I need help. I'm doing something maybe incorrectly. We need assistance so we have a healthy, connected mother-daughter relationship.
That's awesome.
If we had more of that going on, things would be a lot better. But I think communication and connection right now is not where it needs to be.
Exactly.
And
go ahead, Alicia. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say also about therapy. And I was talking to someone at one of the insurance companies that we're closely with. And she's like a liaison. She's head of one of the departments. And she thinks therapy is so different now. Walk and talk, speech therapy, hiking and therapy, going to a park, like this movement, moving around and talking, if that helps people. Because some people feel very intimidated being in an office. They don't like it. I know that people like being by my dog, like being with an animal therapy. There's so many things outside of the box. And I'm a non-conventional therapist. I'm very outside of the box. But if you're not, you know, willing to be supportive to someone through their journey, then guys, that person shouldn't be in your space.
Awesome, awesome. And Lisa has hit it on the head. And yeah, that's something we sometimes afraid to tell individuals, even if you're on the outside looking in, and you can see how detrimental they are for the health of the other person. And no one wants to hear that word no, that, you know, you're not being successful. So it's important that we begin to understand what we're dealing with trauma. And the title of our show today is Trauma and Its Effects on Relationship. We bring in trauma into relationship. We bring childhood trauma into our relationship. Now, the ideal is how it affects us in our relationship so we can understand how we can move to a favorable outcome. There are some symptoms. Before we do, we'll give a shout out to a couple of individuals that's joined us. We have a Simpa Dot Malam joining us. Thank you so much. Blue_Judge, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. And then we want to give a shout out to our sponsors. That's TriStat LLC, a consulting firm to meet your needs in the area of manager training, leadership training, as well as working with you, not to compose grant, but making sure you have everything in order so you can be successful on the grant. If you're awarding a grant, whether it's through the government, 501c3, we need you to call Mr. William Scott, and you can reach Mr. Scott at 334-320-5438. That's Mr. William Scott, TriStat LLC, 334-320-5438. We also want to take an opportunity at this sort of like catch our breath, and one more sponsor. I have a live broadcast that I want to play.
Are you looking for home-cooked food in a family-friendly environment? Well, look no further than Mary Ruth's.
Mary Ruth's Restaurant.
Located at 261 State Highway 106 in beautiful Georgiana, Alabama.
Great food in a family-friendly environment.
Mary Ruth's Restaurant offers home-cooked breakfast. All the fixings, you name it, they've got it. And not just home-cooked breakfast. Home-cooked breakfast, lunch, and dinner items. Mary Ruth's Restaurant specializes in a meat and three vegetables meal.
In meat and three.
Also, home-cooked hamburgers, Philly cheesesteak sandwiches, and much, much more. Seafood lovers.
Mary Ruth's Restaurant has seafood Fridays.
Barbecue Saturday. And it's all caught fresh and made from scratch, including the desserts and so much more. Mm-mm good. Stop by 261 West State Highway 106 in Georgiana. Mary Ruth's Restaurant. Call today, 334-362-4032. That's 334-362-4032. Mary Ruth's Restaurant. Home-cooked meals. Family-friendly environment. great food. Who could ask for more at a restaurant? Mira Roos Restaurant in Georgiana. Breakfast from 7 a.m. until 10 a.m. Monday through Saturday. Lunch from 11 till 2. And dinner from 5 until 9. Barbecue Saturdays begin at 11 a.m. and last until 9. Mira Roos Restaurant in Georgiana. Home-cooked food with a family-friendly environment. Come on by. Sunday dinner from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m.
We want you to definitely patronize Mary Ruth Restaurant. It's in Georgetown, Alabama. If you're traveling down to Fort Walton Beach, Florida, either Destin, Florida, you have to go actually on 106, exit 58 at Georgetown, Alabama. You can get off there and take that 106 and also Old 31 and travel and make your way down. It'll take you with the direction of your pass right now. Give them a holler and tell them that you heard this blast on WPSW Radio, the internet station. We're number one, and we're so glad to be able to be our co-sponsors along with them. But for them being a sponsor to make sure that's TriStat LLC, along with Mary Ruth Restaurant out of Georgia, out of Alabama. Lisa, let's look at some symptoms. See, one of the things I think a lot of us don't really understand is, what are the symptoms you're experiencing from trauma that may be affecting your relationship? Some people don't even realize there are certain symptoms because they are so used to doing it, but they are just not quite understanding what exactly is going on. That's why you need to seek support, but you need to also seek counseling. You need to seek therapy, so you can kind of understand. Again, Lisa talked about triggers. Let's think about something. Let's talk about some of the symptoms. One of the things is irritability. See, if you're irritable, if you quickly to get irritable and snap and go off on someone, and it become anger, that's a symptom from your trauma, and it's going to affect your relationship. Anxiety. A lot of times people don't realize you get where you're so excited and you want something to happen and it don't happen, then it creates that anxiety inside of you that sometimes you'll get to the point you kind of give up. You'll be like, wow, man, I keep trying and I keep failing and failing. That's why I always talk about relationships when we're on our relationship show. We talk about intentionally dating to be in a relationship. Don't go play around with people, because when you start playing around people, that creates anxiety. You don't know what direction they're going to go. So you have to be very careful about, you know, playing the game. See, relationship is not a game. Especially if you really don't know what that individual you have an interest in been through. You don't know what disorder they may have. You don't know what's been going on. So be very careful about playing games that might create anxiety with somebody. Insomnia. See, people don't realize you thinking about that relationship so much, you can't even sleep like you need to sleep. So you have difficulty sleeping. See, this is a symptom of trauma.
And I'm going to jump in. Also, it's good to know shutdowns, and they need space, and they shut down, and they just, that's just, and I've done that in the past. Like, I shut down. Like, I just take time. I'm not one to not get out of bed, but I know people that, like, they physically can't get out of bed because of the trauma. And I think if you know, or if the person is able to express that, respect it and just let them know you're there. You know, some people have flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, and I always say this, Dr. Lowe, you don't know what somebody's bringing into a room, what they're bringing in. I think it's good to be able to say, look, this is how I handle things. I don't know how to explain it to you. And I know from working with a lot of different men, they don't always know how to express their trauma or their feelings. Especially with black men, it's really, really difficult. Really, really difficult. And it takes it takes a lot for a person to be able to say, I don't know, so I shut down because I don't know. And it can happen to anybody. Like I said, I'd rather somebody just shut down, I guess, and not go out and do drugs and drink and use alcohol. I don't drink. I haven't drank in years. I was never a drinker, but I know a lot of people say, well, it numbs me. And I would never date anyone that drinks, because I know a lot of times they drink, people become violent, they knock themselves, they're inappropriate, it's unhealthy. But it's better. Sometimes it's like that, you know, everyone's different. They might have a flashback. They might just now when I jumped on Facebook, two people died that I know, and it came up on the thing. And so I'm trying to, you know, and then three other people I heard today died. Two drug overdoses, one suicide. That's five deaths in a day of people I know. And so I was texting and saying, you know, sending love and healing energy, because that's what we need to do. That's a trauma for these people, especially with drug overdoses right now. And there's more of them that are out there. Mm-hmm. So many people are resorting to drugs to help deal with their trauma.
Exactly.
There's so many symptoms. You're right. Anxiety, panic attacks, OCD, obsessive compulsive, agoraphobia. That's another trauma. I don't know if people know what agoraphobia is, but fear of leaving the home because of what's out in the world. That's coming more to light for people. And I think since COVID, it's gotten a bit worse. You know, we're running out of medications. I tell people, like, suggestions, because I can't tell you what to do, turmeric, ashwagandha, L-theanine, rescue remedy, passion flower. These are all things that can help, like, regulate your system. Because when you're going through something, you're anxious, you're angry, whatever, your body becomes inflamed. And inflammation goes to a weakness in your body. And so it's really important to be aware of symptoms. You know, I know I'm the kind of person, I'll let you know, hey, I need some space. I need space. People don't like that, so I'm not going to do that ever again. But I encourage people to say, like, hey, I just need some time to myself. I'm okay, but I need to go to work at my responsibilities, go to the gym, go salt room. I mean, infrared saunas, you know, there's so many things, but if people are able to come in, and I'm big on communication, I'm going to let you know what's going on. I've learned holding it in makes me anxious. So I'm not going to hold anything in. It depends who I'm talking to about it, but there's so many, sleep issues, night terrors. I can go on and on with a list of things that, you know, people are shaking. Shaking sometimes. I had someone just tell me their legs shake really bad when they're going through a trigger or a traumatic moment. Like, that's a symptom. And then people are Googling, why are my legs shaking? Why is this happening? And it's just from the trauma. They hyperstartle or freeze, you know, their whole body freeze. And I think Lady Gaga, and I often talk about her, I really admire her. She's got, you know, goes into trauma response. She'll cancel her shows if she's going through something. Someone else I think I mentioned him, Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry has brought sexual abuse out on Oprah's show when Oprah was on, and encouraging people to talk about it. And he's been very open about it. And I like him a lot. You know, it's really hard for people to talk about that kind of stuff. But when they do, we need to recognize.
Exactly.
And, yeah, and, you know, people, Britney Spears, I don't like when people talk about her, Antonio Brown. There's a lot of athletes. You don't know what kind of trauma an athlete is going through.
Exactly.
You don't know. And I think you know and I know from things that we do, what we see, or athletes. You know, I think half the time we don't even need to know what's going on unless people really want to share it. Nate Goggins is very big on mental health and getting therapy. There's more athletes coming out talking about it and the benefits of it. I just think everybody goes through different symptoms. Kevin Love, here's another example. Years ago during a playoff game, Kevin Love, I remember this, he walked off the court in the middle of the game. He thought he was having a heart attack. He was having a panic attack. They took him to Cleveland Clinic. He's a huge advocate for mental health. And I know when he was in Cleveland, he would even talk to people about it, or if he wrote him letters, kids writing letters of people, he would meet with them or talk to them at least. And I think that's important, that we support each other. Trust is a problem. Being suspicious of others. This is a complex trauma symptom that I've been seeing. And it can be misdiagnosed as schizophrenia. People following you, hearing voices, they're really not. It's a trauma response. Are they following me? Like, I'm in a store, you know, especially like larger males, black males.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, are they following me? Are they staring at me? Like, I hear a lot of that.
Exactly.
And I say, you are not schizophrenic. It is trauma. It is complex trauma you are experiencing. Exactly. And I normalize it because it needs to be normalized. And people should not feel ashamed. I know they do. And I always validate feelings. And, you know, it's really hard. It's hard for a lot of people, but you're not alone. And I always tell people, you're not alone ever. I tell my kids that all the time. You feel what you feel. And know that these are just symptoms of what you experience. You're right. There's emotions, feelings, symptoms. There's three separate things going on.
Exactly.
And how do you compartmentalize all that?
It's a challenge to that. And I just want to say one thing, Lisa, just kind of follow up. She said about people who will go quiet, shut down, go reserved. That's basically what I had did a lot of most of my life. Everybody said I used to be the quietest person around because I learned when I seen things happen and things have been done. I just said, you know, I just went on and said, I'm gonna put it in the closet. I call it put it in the bed in the closet, but I know I had gotten to a point and this is after being married the second time over 20 years. And I realized that we were triggering each other and we had to get some distance between. That's why eventually I'm saying it's just one of the reasons that we came to a conclusion that we would have to move our separate ways because of some of the trauma that I know I had in my life. And then when I seek counseling, that was one of the things my biggest focus was, how I could address these things as in the closet, meaning that pretty much every time something, no matter what good, bad, or indifferent, I'd just shift to the closet. I wouldn't want to deal with it. I'd put it later. I had that attitude. Or I had the attitude like water on a duck's back. It rolls off. My mom always said, don't let nobody catch slipping or sliding like you're on ice. So we always had that thing that we was always got to stay ahead of the game and everything. But I seek counseling. That was one of the reasons. My counselor, I had a session yesterday at 10 o'clock. I do it twice a month, and I'm going to continue to do it. And someone heard some people, well, that's a limit. It might be a limit for you, but it's not a limit for me because I feel like I am moving in the direction to be the best version of myself. So that's one of the things I wanted to share, Lisa was sharing. I want to give a shout out to a couple of people. I see Lisa, you post a couple of them. But we had Tone and Robin 47 joining us, along with Dana Gaines and Jamil Adin, Carol Davis, and Robert Turner. Thank you so much for taking time to be part of it. And I want to give a shout out to two more of our sponsors. That's L&T Lawn Service, the manicure expert in South Central Alabama, and our host, I guess our special guest on Monday night show was Mr. Tony Stallworth with L&T Lawn Service. And he was sharing some things about his educational experience. He worked in education, retired, still working around young people, has his own lawn service now, and something him and his brother connected on. His brother has transitioned on, God bless his soul, he's in heaven now, and I knew him personally. And truly, he said that was his inspiration. So that's L&T Lawn Service, the manicure expert. And Mr. Tony Stallworth is the owner. You can call him at 334-300-740. That's Tony Stallworth, 334-300-740. Soap Gym by Jackson and Grace, some of the best soap and perfume smells. And I have several samples of it right here. This is a common lavender sea salt.
I want some.
Okay, I'm going to get it. I'm going to send it to you. I'll make sure you get it. No problem. Then also I have a lotion here called Goat's Milk Lotion. And we have it here along with Manpower. This is Manpower right here now. And I took that, smell it. Yeah, it is really nice. Soaps, various types of soap. And that's Soap Gym by Jackson and Grace. That's Ms. Jennifer Jackson, and the number to contact Jennifer Jackson, that's with one N. That's 251-369-1344. That's Soap Gym by Jackson and Grace, or go to Facebook, type in Jennifer Jackson or Charlie Angel. So those are our sponsors so far. Listen, at this time, we want to take advantage. We're going to kind of catch our thoughts right here because I want to kind of focus on, as a child, what is that? Childhood trauma. We talked about impact adult relationship, but I want us to think about how it creates a particular attachment style. You think about the attachment style, because it is an attachment style that from having that childhood trauma that you didn't address, even if you addressed, you have some type of attachment style that you fall in where people feel secure. But at this time, we're going to do our raffle. That is a four-night, five-day trip to the Grand Canyon. And that's actually the hotel we're taking care of. We're going to take care of the 4 nights. And it won't cost you anything, but unless you go there and you take advantage of the amenities, and it'll be on your incidental. So, but we're going to have that already paid for. You have a selection if you want to improve and upgrade, whatever. But we want you to be able to take advantage. You see, I'm shaking. So I'm going to have to reach in there and pull somebody's name out. Now, I know I gave everybody an opportunity to send your name along with a means of transaction. So if you didn't send it in before we do this raffle and I didn't receive it, then I will make sure you'll be in the next raffle because we will have one next week as well. So I'm going to reach down here and pull. Oh, okay. We're going to give a shout out to Derek Lawson. Derek Lawson is winner of the hotel stay at the Grand Canyon. And in actuality, that's 4 nights and 5 days. You handle your transportation. We're going to take care of the hotel. We're going to pay for it out. Where we work and the resources we have to make sure you're taken care of. And that's Derek Lawson. So we'll make sure we contact Derek Lawson, let him know he won. His cash app is $DN and Derek N Dent. He said Derek N Dent. So thank you so much, Derek Lawson, for being a part of it. But we will contact you. Listen, as we move forward, when we were talking about childhood trauma, the impact on adult relationship. One thing I want to say about this, as children, we have to keep in mind, as a child, a lot of times we more or less get what we call attachment styles. You know our children sometimes get attached to individuals. So I want to make sure we talk about the attachment styles. And I want to start off talking about the various attachment styles. See, a person can get attached to you because of the traumatic experience they have. And it's sad to say there are some people out there sitting and waiting in the bush, I'm going to say this decent, because they think that's an opportunity for them to control someone. They figure they tell you, I love you a whole lot, and you don't really see the challenges that you have because they want you to put love first. So in the attachment style, sometimes it reflects how warm and how close that a person likes to be in a relationship. That's why they call it an attachment. And a lot of times it comes from childhood trauma because you're still, as you're an adult, we're talking about as an adult now. See, these are adult attachment style. We always say if we don't address some of our challenges and our various things and our trauma as a child, we will carry it to adulthood.
Absolutely.
So we have to really keep in mind that our childhood experiences create particular adult, when you become adult, child that you have to live with until you address them. So we have to remember that, for example, if you have a style which can influence the way we communicate with others. If you went through a traumatic experience where somebody always telling you to shut up, close your mouth, when you start talking, putting you in a closet or putting you in a room, locking the door, that's trauma. So that you could get into a situation where you have that child when they become adult, they sometimes have challenges communicating with others. And they can't separate sometimes or be able to handle separation, or they can handle arguments or intimacy. That's a mild adaptive attachment style. See, and that attachment involves personal insight, counseling, and support. Lisa, we want to kind of talk about those adult attachment styles that at some point, once you address them, it can help your relationship skills improve.
Well, one thing I wanted to bring up, and I just posted an article in the comment feed, but kids who grow up with parents that have personality disorders, let's look at narcissistic, borderline parents, they do not know how to connect or attach to their child. They just don't. It's more of an I love you. It's borderline, there's no gray matter. It's black or white. I love you. I hate you. I love you. Come to me. Push you away. When that's how you're treated, narcissistically, I don't even need to get into all that. But then as you grow up, that's the kind of situation people find themselves in. And it's very sad because, unfortunately, we cannot fix a personality disorder, and we cannot teach a borderline or a narcissist how to love or how to connect with their child, even adults. I've seen adults that have come to me because they grew up with that kind of parent. They married that type of person. It's very enmeshed. They're enmeshed relationships, and then they're just disconnected relationships. It's their unhealthy relationships because that's what people are exposed to. And it's very sad. And it's how do you break the cycle? And in the article I posted, it talks about anxious, avoided, or disorganized attachment styles.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when you grow up with a disorganized relationship, it's confusing because it's like, oh, they were just nice to me. Now they're being mean to me. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't, you know, it's very chaotic. It's very unhealthy. And then as that person grows up, that's how they, you know, can become they will attract those kind of relationships. And some people avoid it altogether because they're afraid of rejection, because that parent rejected them. Well, then they're in a relationship where they're being rejected again. And I hate to tell everybody, if you're with a narcissist or a borderline, as hard as it might be, get into therapy and learn how to break that cycle and learn how to leave that relationship. And I know it's hard because they make you feel like you're nothing. And you are something. All of you are something. No matter if you're in a bad relationship, you're in an abuse, know that you're something and you're loved, and that there are people like us that get it and you understand it. I don't judge anybody, but those types of situations are very hard to deal with. And you need professional intervention. It's real easy to complain to your girlfriends or your guy friends, or, you know, I even had a guy say to me once, I love these borderline bipolar girls because they're risky and they're fun. And I'm thinking, well, and I asked him, I go, what happens when she crashes?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He stops talking to him. They don't talk. And I'm like, okay, does that work for you? Well, I love all the risky behaviors. And I'm like, risky behaviors are not always, because there's risky sexual behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
There's risky, let me jump off of a building. There's risky, mm-hmm. let me go on a motorcycle without a helmet and go 100 some miles. And that, you know, it's not healthy. Mm-hmm. And then you stop talking because the fun, all that, ooh, you know, that makes me feel good, or, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not healthy, I can clearly tell you that.
Exactly.
Or they're mean to you and they gaslighters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gaslighters.
Yes, yes. Amazing.
It's a horrible form of abuse. Mm-hmm. But you can heal from it. You can. I've dated a couple of them. Now when I'm meeting them, I flag immediately. And I won't help anybody who needs help over. And I did. There's somebody I did help. And she wrote a post about me, bless her heart. Because she said I helped her overcome being in a narcissistic relationship. And knowing her worth and knowing her value and knowing that she's important and she means something and she deserves the best.
Exactly.
So we worked on it for quite a while, and I think she teaches others. She's not a therapist, but she shares her story, her journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very proud of her.
And that's
not
awesome.
The same name, but
yes.
I really admire somebody who takes those steps and says, you know what, I don't deserve it.
Exactly. And
I don't.
And Lisa, I can tell you really, it's so important once we can start recognizing these various attachment styles and understand that if we can find a secure attachment style, it's going to be great for improving your health of your relationship and improving you as an individual. See, too many times we're so caught up in with all the negative things. We need to look at the positive things. Because, see, our attachment style can influence the way you communicate again with people. It also creates problems that allows you where you cannot improve your relationship. But there is that secure, you know, one of the most common things in relationship and everybody wants to be able to have is to feel secure.
Yes.
They want to feel secure. So once you feel secure, you can react a little bit different with everything you deal with. So the most important attachment style as an adult is the secure attachment style. It's the most healthiest because it allows you an opportunity to think about where you receive support even as a child and you're receiving support now. It allows you to seek support when you are in that secure attachment phase. Because see what it is, once you get into the secure attachment style or experience it, see, don't live in fear. See, insecurity comes from fear. People don't want to believe that. They fear that they're going to lose someone. The fear that they may have selected the wrong one. Fear come into play, which is a emotion. But it's truly when you are secure about who you are and whom you are, you have a tendency to deal with anything that comes about. Because when you live in fear of abandonment, rejection, if you're not a secure person about who you are and whom you are, you're going to struggle with being successful in a relationship. So it's important that we keep in mind that the most important attachment style that we all can focus on that's going to improve our relationship skills is the secure attachment style. And it is the most healthy attachment style. And a lot of this we develop as a child. People don't realize when we go through childhood experience, we understand, especially we have a supported childhood. We have a tendency to feel a lot more secure when we out as adults. We can focus on being productive. But if we live it in fear all through our childhood and never address that, receive the support from our family, from our friends, from our community, you know, you have a tendency to be there. Yes, Lisa.
Not being believed.
Exactly.
I could name situations where people were sexually assaulted or abused and people didn't believe them. And then it's, well, why didn't they report it or it comes out 30 years later? Because people don't believe you. And if you don't have physical evidence, that's people, plus the fact it's something that it's like shocking, like that somebody did that. And when it's someone you know that does that to you, it completely breaks your trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally takes whatever trust that you had. And when I know somebody that at a young age sexually abused by a family friend, nobody believed. Nobody would listen. And that's another situation. It did turn out good. The person became an adult, able to work through it. It was a journey, a very bumpy road, but it's a very difficult topic. I have a hard time, honestly, working with sexual abuse and assault. It bothers me, especially when it's done towards a child, because I know I've read it, and I studied it, and I've taken classes, but I still, in my mind, don't fully get it, other than it's a means of control. And a lot of times I've had people say to me, well, it's my fault. It's my fault. Like, the person self-blames, or I just, you know, your body reacts one way and your mind is reacting another way. Hey. That makes sense. And I said, just because the body reacted does not mean you were going along with it. Does not mean it was enjoyment. It is just, this up here is the main thing, is your mind. And I think, you know, when that's happened to people, it's something that always stays with you.
Exactly.
So very hard, and I commend people that work with it. And I know there's therapists that work with offenders, which I could never do personally, but just most of them will tell you they can't be rehabilitated. Mm-hmm. You can't rehabilitate a sex offender. That's a known. They can't be rehabilitated. And it's sad, and it's a sickness. It's a bad sickness, but doing that to a little child, and I used to see it when I worked in the state. That was one thing I couldn't, really hard for me. I think hard for many of us to see that or hear that, and then no consequences, no closure, no peace for these poor kids. So, and that's an everlasting, because then you go into relationships like that and don't.
Yes, yes.
And it becomes like, well, I deserve that, and I'm just going to keep going at that. Like, that's just, it's something, I think it's not even intentional when people say, well, I deserve that, and I keep meeting people like that, or I didn't clean my room, and that's why it happened.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a kid tell me that once. Like, it was so heartbreaking. I had to, or they weren't going to feed me dinner. I mean, all these things I used to hear, and it made me appreciate more of my family or upbringing, I think, because the things I saw working for the state. Because those are things, Dr. Lowe, I will never, and I tell people, you don't know what bad is sometimes.
Nope.
People coming in your room in the middle of the night. I had a kid tell me one time, tip the dresser up against the door. Even though she was in a foster home, she still was traumatized for years. Mm-hmm. At least 5 years that went on. Never felt safe. And we did everything we could. But you know what? We finally got to a point, like, we let her keep it. Whatever made her feel safe, that was what we followed.
Exactly.
Because you need that security, like what you were
exactly.
just talking about.
Exactly. And that's truly what we have to focus on, that we're making sure that our individuals can get to that secure attachment area where they can feel healthy and be not fearful of anything that may cause problems. And that would lead, and especially when we get into adulthood, I kept saying on the other show about the APA Journal, had an article about really was supporting our boys, particularly black boys. And it was talking about how black boys, when they become men, still have two emotions that sticks with them through the process. That's fear and anxiety. When you have those two, you will have some challenges as a man. And too many times, I talk about on my shows on, and I got to put a plug because we'll do it tomorrow at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. We have an awesome show called Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood, and that's still building boys to be modern men in the future. And that's the title we're gonna have tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. And why I was saying that, because it's so important that, you know, that emotion of fear and anxiety plays in. And a lot of times, the opposite sex don't understand the fear that they had or may have had when they was a child in school. It could have been in school. They could have come out the two-parent home and they had everybody, but they had a fear in school because it seemed like fear by those people in leadership felt like it was better to have that than allow situations to go where they have to deal with them directly. And it goes along with young people. Even when she was sharing the story about the child that was in a foster home, that's going to be a fear she's going to take into adulthood because they're not feeling safe and they nowhere to be secure. Like say we're talking about relationships. You know, to have a successful relationship, you have to feel safe in that relationship. You have to feel secure knowing that that person will keep you safe at all times. That will secure your safety. So that's why it's important that we kind of look at how to deal with trauma and all of the trauma we talk about in a romantic relationship, because you have to be able to deal with it so you can move in the right direction. And we can. We said seek the support, seek the counseling, the therapy, seek anything that can help you move into the right track. But being in a secured attachment style, you have a chance to have the most healthy opportunity to be able to be successful. But when we're talking about dealing with trauma, one thing I want to share, and Lisa will share some things with you, you know, educate yourself. That's what you do. If you're dealt with trauma, and you're in a romantic relationship now. Educate yourself and your partner on trauma. Let them know the trauma you've been through. I know everybody said that's not good. Either you're going to let them know in the beginning of the relationship and give them a chance to make a decision whether they want to be in the relationship. Or if you wait till the relationship is went to a point where it almost no return, it could be really, really some backlashes. So you have to be kind of careful. Educate yourself so you can educate your partner on the trauma that you may have went through. We talked about the various types of examples of trauma. And you have to educate yourself on grief, fear, anxiety. You got to be able to sit down and find out your triggers. Know what your, not what everybody else think triggers are, your triggers. So when you're in that relationship, you can sit down and provide as much information, which is essential for the development of your compassion. See, with your partner, compassion is very important in a romantic relationship. All right, Lisa.
I'm going to circle back to something you said, and then I'll talk about the relationship. I don't know if people fully do understand what it's like being a black child or a black male, and you're running like that case in Georgia with, you know, and I think, well, I do things like that with my friend when we're walking, we look at houses, you know, down by the beach. Not all black people are bad, guys. It's a person. It's not a color. Like, I don't see color. I don't see religion. I see a person. And I'm a very open person, and I'm for everybody. I don't care what you like, who you like, you know. But being a black male and being kept down, and, you know, because I do educate myself, and I have someone who always, you know, I have people that educate me, and I took some really good training on some of this. It is a problem. You know, it is a fear. I mean, I'm scared walking the dogs because there's like a rehab house across from me. I didn't know. I've seen EMS there, the police there. We get on our ring app. There were break-ins. It's all white people doing it. But because they're white, we're not hearing about it. So don't just assume it's white, black, females. There's females over there doing bad stuff. I always send my location now because I'm a little, you know, want to make sure someone knows where I'm at. But don't just assume because you see somebody of a different color or whatever it is that they're a bad person, or you don't know. I mean, really quick, one night when we didn't have gas here, there were two guys, and I was walking the dogs and I wanted to see if there was gas at the gas station. If there wasn't, both black. The one guy ran out of gas. He had no gas. And I'm like, are you guys okay? Like, you need help? You need gas? And he said, oh, my friend ran out of gas. And I said, oh, there's a gas button. I go download it right now. And I opened mine. And we were able to find a gas station. And the one guy looked at me and he goes, thank you for not leaving and for helping us. Because most people, when they see somebody black, they run the other way. And I didn't even know. I go, you're welcome. I go, this is what life's all about. We help each other. You know, we help each other out. And we did find a gas station. The guy filled the red thing up, and he helped us find gas. And I waited with the guy for the other guy to do that. But it was just such an odd, like, thank you for not running and not being scared and not calling the police. And I was kind of like, wow. Some people are really affected, guys. And just helping somebody out. And if we didn't find gas, I said, you could take some of my gas because I have a full tank. And if he takes some of yours, we can at least get him. But that's what life is about. But him saying that, I knew in my head, there's something that guy went through to make a comment like that.
Exactly.
And you know, just mindful and aware that everybody goes through stuff. We've all had experiences, and be available. And as for the relationship piece, I do think if you are with the right person and you are connected, you will have those conversations about past traumatic relationship situations you've been in, whether it's death, losses, injuries, moves, whatever it is. If you are connected to someone and that's your person, you will be able to have an open conversation about it. If you're not with the right person, you're not going to have, if someone's telling you you're wrong and stop it and be positive, and no, you need to let the person tell the story.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And if you can't see, then you shouldn't be with that person.
That's one of those red flags that pop up. It's so important that you be able to educate each other and feel comfortable doing that. Don't come to become competitive, because that ain't what it's all about. Because you're dealing with a traumatic situation, and it's experience of a childhood as a child, and now you're an adult and you want to be in a romantic relationship. You got to be able to put things out on the table. You got to be able to identify your triggers, as well as allow your partner to share some of their triggers, or be able to help your partners identify their triggers. Because just because they didn't experience a traumatic experience when they were young don't mean that anger is another emotion. So if you get angry quickly, then you want to get the argumentative. You know, something is triggering that, and you have to kind of address that and making sure you're able to identify. This is being more open in your communication. You know, learn what your scale distress is. Somebody said, what are you talking about? See, we have a level of distress, and we need to know from 0 to 10 where we are. What create this distress that we have to, that causes us to be able to retreat, get back, think about what we're doing a lot longer. So we have to know what our scale is before we can address anything with anybody else. You know, understand our boundaries. And this is one we always talk about. You have to have boundaries. She just mentioned about red flag. Sometimes people say, okay, a red flag, what is that? That gets you to where your boundary, where you're not going to go. You're not going to experience it. So you have to make sure you understand how important that you find out from that individual by observation, spending time, if that's the choice you made. But the one key thing I want to go back to, Lisa, that's so important, is intentional. Be intentional. If you're not intentionally willing to date and have a looking to a favorable outcome, don't just do it. Look at your situationship. Be happy if that's what you want to live life as situation, or you don't want to do it at all. But don't get into that situation. See the red flags, then say everything will be all right tomorrow. Yeah, everything will be all right. We'll wake up, it will be in our minds all right, but that red flag is not going anywhere because it's never been addressed. So know your boundaries. Know how far you're going to go and how far you're going to allow someone to take you. And also make sure you always keep in mind, know when it's time to get help. You have to know when it's time to get help. Even for someone else, your significant other, your partner, it is time to get some help. If we want to maintain this relationship, this marriage, we need to seek couple counseling. You need to be able to recognize that and be willing to say it's time to get help, and don't be afraid. Lisa.
I think it's even important when you're first in a relationship to talk with someone, or if you're going to move in with someone. I was saying that. I was just talking about that. It's not even about marriage. you should go in and talk to someone and make sure there's compatibility, make sure there's mutual respect and an understanding, because, you know, you just, like we're saying, if you can't accept where somebody's at and they're being honest with you and you're taking that from them, you have no idea what you're taking away from that person. Because, like I said, it is so hard to talk about a lot of things. And it takes a lot, especially for a man. Mm-hmm. And I've had grown men cry, and I listen, and I just validate because I genuinely care, and I want you to release it, feel better. But when you're in a romantic situation, intimacy, then if you're not going to understand, this person had multiple traumas, and a lot of people have had multiple traumatic relationships. If you're not willing to be there for them and understand, like, this is how they're going through it, doesn't mean that anyone's a bad person. It doesn't mean they don't love you. It just means that this is for their past, and it is coming into it. But I have more respect for people that discuss it and then accept each other and work together to get through it.
Exactly.
So you're upset, want me to come sit with you? What do you need? Do you want TV? Do you want to go for a walk? Do you need space? I always say that to people. You need space.
Exactly.
You know,
space is important.
Space, sometimes some people just need that. And you know, when people, like I said, when I verbalized this, where I got attacked, and I really didn't like it. It was not, I can say, a good feeling for me.
Exactly.
And I learned a lot from that, and I'm not going to change who I am. If I need space, I'm taking it. If I want to be open and self-share, and if I can help people, like how you help, you know, by telling people some things, you never know who you're going to impact.
Exactly.
Or what idea they might get to help themselves.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying space like vanish for a month. I'm just saying sometimes people need a couple of days to regroup, rethink things out. And I've learned to do that. Like, don't react on emotion.
Exactly.
Take that time and think it through. I need to have some time to myself. Journaling is so good. Letter writing, you don't even have to give it to the person. Or I've had people, you didn't call me back. Okay, Dr. Lucky, if you look at my phone, sometimes there's at least, I wake up to like 25, 30 texts sometimes. I cannot get back to everybody. And I feel bad. And most times, trauma and things, anxiety come out at night. Do something peaceful at night. Do something when I get off the queue. I mean, before you, I walk them 2 miles. I was running a little late with the phone call I had, but I did walk them. I'm going to go walk them again. And that's how I don't. Then I meditate before bed. I say a prayer for everybody, not just myself. And do things that are going to help you to relax your mind at night. Because that's when you're thinking. That's when things are turning. And don't talk about negative things at night.
Exactly. And that's awesome. That's awesome, Lisa. I tell you, we had a 90-minute opportunity tonight. We had about 90 minutes. It has been awesome. And hopefully something was shared that allow you to kind of put things in the right perspective. You may already have it in the right perspective, but we want to be able to share some knowledge about trauma and its effects on relationships. And it's all about hard work. Relationships are hard work. No matter whether it's family, friends, romantic, on the job, in the church, or wherever you may be, you have to put the effort in. And if you, the effort should go in addressing the trauma, identifying the trauma, then seeking the support and the counseling and the therapy you need to be the best version of yourself. Even if you went in a relationship, make sure you share with that person. Even you feel like you healed, share with that person. I went through this, and I know how to identify my triggers, and I'm trying to share, I want to share with you. And if that person have the right connection and the one that should be connected with you, they're going to be willing to say, well, let me look at mine, and I'm going to be here to help you, just like I know you're here to help me. Not taking what you and share with them and using it against you, because that ain't the right person. If that's the red flag, the first one you need to look. When you share something that's very intimate to you, and they come back and use it against you, that ain't the person you want to be with.
And also cheating. Just because somebody's going through a hard time, don't go out and cheat, guys, girls, guys, whoever. Don't go out and do that. If you truly love somebody, you're not going to do things like that.
Exactly.
Or just say, I can't handle this. It's not the right situation, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. Nobody's perfect. So if that's something that you can't handle, but if you really love someone, go in yourself and find out, how can I help my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my spouse? If somebody is really important to you, learn how to help them. Because people get tricked. You know, next week is the girl, my boyfriend, that's her birthday, is next week on the 12th. And then the week about next week, my close friend, very close to it, he died on the 15th, his birthday is the 18th. So I said to myself, I'm going to do some kind of celebratory, you know, but I know it's a hard time for me.
Exactly.
And, you know, I don't want to hear over and eventually, oh, Dr. Lowe, I have a hard time hearing that. Because a 21-year-old girl who got hit by a drunk driver is not in a better place. But, yeah, you just don't. And we'll do something special to honor her next week because that's, you know, important. But, you know that people go through things and don't be offended by it.
Exactly.
Okay. Just try to be supportive. That's all you can do. And if you can handle it, move on.
Move on. And that's awesome, Lisa. You know, we at the end of the hour. It's awesome that there was some awesome information to share. I wanted to share with everybody, this is our 617th published episode. So we're again excited that expanding over 38 countries and then up to 617 published episodes. So God has been so good. And it all is owed to each and every one of you all. I want to give a shout out to Karen Copeland that's joining us. Thank you so much, Karen. Carol Davis, congratulated Derek Lawson for winning it. Give a shout out to One Media Detroit. Thank you for joining us as well. And it's just been awesome tonight. And as we part, I'm going to give Lisa an opportunity to give her parting words, and I'll get ready to close the show out. Just to remind you, we have a show tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood is the truly, truly the relationship that address issues and focus on issues block by block, house by house, neighborhood by neighborhood. We're a grassroots opportunity to share, and we're thankful at WPSW Radio, the internet station number one. Lisa?
I'm going to say this. Know your worth. Know your value. Know you're important. Know your feelings aren't wrong. Know you're not alone. I always tag shirts that say, I will be your friend. For peace, kid yoga. And you do have a friend with us. And know if you are going through something hard, don't beat up on yourself. Love yourself. Compassion, empathy, just what mindfulness teaches. Gratitude, and keep the right people around you. Because sometimes you can outgrow something, or something is not, you know, when people are talking about things, guys, it's good to just listen. Give them a hug if they want after. them because you don't know if people want to be touched or not, but just be respectful of what people are going through, because trauma comes and trauma goes, and I always say that. I always say, and I sometimes think that's why a lot of people come to me, because I am so like, okay, tell me what's going on. I'm here to listen. You're loved. You're I love you. You're loved. You're accepted. And I think people need to hear that sometimes.
Yes. That's the key right there. And
that's the key.
As we close out, it's been awesome. And I was going to tell you, we're going to tell you together, we truly love you from our heart, from your heart, from your love, and from my heart. Thank you so much for being a part. Hashtag responsible. Hashtag we got this. And hashtag I truly want us to continue to remember that if you keep on grinding, some awesome things are going to happen. Address the issues you have so you can have a prosperous or get the favorite outcome you want in all of your relationships. We just wanted to share something with you from WBSW Radio, the internet station with number one. And as we close out, I want you to know that the point of it all is a song that we don't own the rights to, but we like playing some music just to close it out. It is a point for everything that's happened. If you're having struggles and you have trauma and you haven't addressed it, there's a point and a reason for everything. There's a reason for the season. Make sure you work for it, addressing those issues so you can have a prosperous and a productive relationship with family, friends, romantic, work relationship, whatever it is. So it's been awesome. But check us out tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m. in Dr. Lowe's neighborhood. We're truly excited about that. We're going to be talking about, again, building our boys to be modern men of the future, a modern man of the future. And that's what we're looking forward to. We're on a series, up to series 15. And we just kind of adjusted the title a little bit. So you have an awesome rest of the evening. And we will see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We'll give a shout out to Derek Lawson for winning the trip to the Grand Canyon. And we'll make sure we connect with him to make sure he's aware of it and get what he needs to get to move forward. So y'all have an awesome rest of the night. And as I close out always, I always tell y'all how I feel.
I can't stay away from you too long.
I hope that touched y'all because it touches me.
Even if I do, I'll always call. Checking on you, make sure you're okay.
Come on now.
Be the one to brighten up your day. Yeah, yeah. And the point of it all, I love you. Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah. I love you.